And we're holding in syllabus page Memvov, Ois Memvov. We started learning yesterday about the milos of living in Eretz Yisrael based on the Mishnah that talks about a case where a husband wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, but his wife doesn't, or vice versa. So continuing on this topic of the greatness of living in Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kol ador be'Eretz Yisrael shorid b'loy oven. A person who lives in Eretz Yisrael is living without averis. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Uval yoimar shochin, let not the shochin, now shochin can be a neighbor, but here the Gemara is darshaning it in the sense of someone who lives there, cholisi, let him not say that I'm sick and I'm having a hard time of it. Ha'oma, yoshev bo nesu oven, you should know the people, the nation that lives there in that land of Eretz Yisrael has their averis removed. In the simple sense, Rashi on the pasuk over there, it's a pasuk in Yeshaya, talks about that it means that the Goyish nations around Eretz Yisrael shouldn't complain of the fact that their Jewish neighbors are making things hard for them, and they should realize the greatness of the Jewish people. That message has to be repeated over in every generation, of course. But in any case, here the Gemara is darshaning about the Jews in Eretz Yisrael themselves. They're going to think we're having a hard time of it. But they should realize that they're gaining a great deal from living in Eretz Yisrael, that their averus are freed. Marsha says another possibility could mean that it may refer to the nation to the surrounding Goyish nations, like Rashi says on Yeshaya, but taking it in a different way, that people might think, you know what's so great about Eretz Yisrael? The climate there is better than the surrounding countries. It's a mountainous country, and therefore it's better for sick people. They should realize that's not the fundamental greatness of Eretz Yisrael. The reason why Hashem chose it as the promised land and gave it to us and so forth, not just because it's a healthier country, but also because it has that greatness that people who live there have their averus forgiven. Now, what does that mean? A bunch of Mefarshim point out. I mean, obviously, it can't mean across the board. Otherwise, how did it happen in the first place that the Jewish people went into Golis from it? So the Pnei Yeshua talks about that it doesn't mean that it has an unlimited capacity. It means, in other words, that a person, by and large, living in Eretz Yisrael, he's more likely to feel right away because of the kedusha of the place, he's more likely to feel a pull towards kedusha and to want to do tshuva, and therefore that helps him. Obviously, if he overrides that, then eventually v'loisokia etc. There's a number of other explanations about it. Another point, Iyun Yaakov makes a point makes a point also that. What we're talking about now, if people are living in Eretz Yisrael and at least they're keeping the mitzvahs at Tluyas Ba'aretz, then we're saying that Eretz Yisrael, the kedusha, the zchus of living there, helps clean up his other averus. But if he's going to be violating the dinim of Shemitah, then no, that eventually counts up, and that's in fact what happened with the Jewish people. The reason why there was 70 years Golus Bavel is because they ignored Shemitahs and Yovelus.
I'm sorry, I think you said if he's living in Israel and he makes a sin. And he said, oh,
So we're saying one possibility.
Overrides what?
No, so what we're saying is a few.
Okay,
so what we're saying is a few possibilities. First of all, we're saying that a person living in Eretz Yisrael is more prone to do tshuva because of the kedusha of the place. But it also means, for example, that it means that that a person. Is li the, it also means that if a person is living in Eretz Yisrael and keeping the mitzvahs atluyas va'aretz, the mitzvahs that depend on Eretz Yisrael, shmita, yovel, trumas, maestras, etc., then the fact that he may be doing other averus, it's not in a way, it's not so bad. Hashem is more willing to forgive him as averus because of the schus of living in Eretz Yisrael and keeping those mitzvahs. But if he's going to be violating those mitzvahs, then he's in trouble, and that's what happened to the Jewish people in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, for example. Eitz Yosef says something similar about the idea of tshuva. He brings from a medrash that Nebuchadnezzar, when the Jewish people were being taken into Golos by the Churban Bayis Rishon, Nebuchadnezzar orders his general Nebuzaradan to hurry them out of Eretz Yisrael as fast as possible because Nebuchadnezzar figured if the Jewish people do tshuva, then Hashem will cancel the Gzeira of Golos, and they're all going to be able to go back. Once they're out of Eretz Yisrael, then Nebuchadnezzar tells Nebuzaradan, now you can ease up on them. Even if they do tshuva now, it's kind of, so to speak, too late. So in other words, Eretz Yisrael has a greater capacity for motivating people to do tshuva and for Hashem to accept that tshuva sooner. So all of these and more are included in this point that people living in Eretz Yisrael have their averus more easily forgiven. So the Gemara continues that Omale Ravino or Rava or Ravashi and Nan Beslovely Chaloyim Masninim Lo. You should know we in our yeshiva, you're telling us that that pasuk of Al Yom Hashochen Chalisi is referring to the greatness of living in Eretz Yisrael and a person having his averus forgiven. We learn it differently. That the pasuk is talking about a person who is sick, pasuk a person who's suffering illness, or val yoma shochein. So one meaning would be the person who's living with sickness shouldn't be complaining. Chalisi, I'm sick, and he's going to complain to Hashem. He should realize ha'oma yosha bon su oven. People who live with those kinds of sicknesses, that's Hashem is forgiving their averus. The yisurim help clean up their averus. And Marsha says another angle on it can be, the bad neighbor shouldn't say, oh, I'm so happy he's sick, like we find in a few places in Tillim where David talks about his enemies having that feeling. No, they should realize that the reason why for the sickness is in order to clean up my Averis. Okay, the Gemara continues. So in other words, Ravino Rava is telling Ravashi, that you should know, you're learning the pasuk regarding people who live in Eretz Yisrael, but you should know it has another meaning as well. Okay, the Gemara continues. Omer of Onan, kol kovur be'Eretz Yisrael, a person is buried in Eretz Yisrael, kilo kovur tachas mizbeach. It's as if he's buried under the mizbeach. Now, we don't mean literally. I mean, you would never want people to be buried under the mizbeach. The Yerushalmi, in fact, mentions in some places, there's Yerushalmis and Midrashim that mention at one point they found gogolte shel Aravna, they found the skull of Aravna Hayavusi under the mizbeach, and it created huge problems. Everybody, all the Kohenim who did the Avoda had become Tomei without knowing it. So no, we don't mean a person literally buried under the Mizbeach, but in other words, in the sense that he's buried in a place, he's buried in the place where his kapara comes from. Marsha points out that the Gemara elsewhere says, Odom mimokam kapara, the Rambam brings it in Hilchos Beis Abchira, Odom mimokam kapara se nivra, the Eibishter to begin with, created man from the place where he's going to get his kapara. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin actually talks about, it was a couple of days ago in Daf Yomi. It mentions that when Hashem gathered together the dust to create Adam, he took the dust for his head from Eretz Yisrael and for his body from Bavel, and the rest of his limbs came from the other countries. So therefore, in other words, like the main place that a person comes from is the place of the Mizbeach, the place of Eretz Yisrael. So now if he's buried in Eretz Yisrael, then he has that schus, like he's returned to the place where he has his, where his kapara comes from in the first place. The Makom Kapara, we're saying, is the place of the Mizbeach that Amman brings in Hilchos Beis Abchira. No, it's Nishri. We're talking about his goof. We're talking about his goof. That the Rambam brings in Hilchos Beis Abchira, the space of the spot of the Mizbeach is very, very precise, and you can never change it. And it's the place where Noyachbur, where Odom, it's the place where Avram Avinu did the Akedah, and where Noyachbur Kobonas, etc., etc. And Chazal said that Odom Mimokum Kaparos in Nivra, that Odom to begin with, the first dust that Hashem took to create Odom from, came from there. Specifically from the place of the Mizbeach. So now we're saying, therefore, from the future site of the Mizbeach. So now we're saying a person is buried in Eretz Yisrael. Then Maharsha explains, it means now he's returning to his original place of his kapara. If
the person is Zecher, then Hashem is the Negev, he'll move right to the place he needs to be buried in.
So Ksiv Hocha, how do we see that a person is buried in Eretz Yisrael? He has that schos. Ksiv Hocha Mizbach Adoma Tassali. One pasuk says, you should make me a mizbeach of earth. Another pasuk says, Hashem's land, where Hashem's earth, will atone for his nation. So we see, in other words, that there's a connection between the mizbeach made out of earth and the earth of Eretz Yisrael, that it's a kapara for a person. So a person is buried wherever it is. And Eretz Yisrael is as if he's buried in the place of kapara. In fact, actually, by the way, the Yerushalmi mentions about this, the Yerushalmi in Kalayim mentions an argument about this between two Chachamim, Rebbe ben something, ben Bicha, I think, or something, I don't remember exactly, and Rebbe Lozer. They both lived in Eretz Yisrael. They see people bringing aronis of people who had passed away outside Eretz Yisrael, and they're bringing them to Eretz Yisrael for burial. So one of them says, you know, it's not really appropriate. All they're doing is making Eretz Yisrael more tummy. And Rabbi Lozer explains to him that no, it's a kapara for them, as we're saying in the Gemara over here. And in fact, in later times, the minhag developed because of that. Where possible, you take dirt, even if a person is being buried in Chutz Laaretz, you take dirt from Eretz Yisrael and put it in the kaver with him.
Remember, we say invention
That's we're going to talk about the mechilos soon. We'll get to that soon. Yeah, but yeah,
standing up.
yeah, yeah. Well, we'll get to the mechilos. We'll get to the whole thing of the mason going through the tunnels. We'll get to that soon. Yeah, but yeah. So there's a lemaisa. We tackle follow that, and people throughout the generations have always tried to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. They found even ancient graves. They found, for example, we were talking a few days ago at Beis Sha'arim, the place where apparently Rebbe is buried. They have a whole area of graves over there, and they found, based on the inscriptions, that people came from like all over the place, even as far away as Yemen, in order to be buried in that place near the Tzaddik. So there is very strong reason for this concept of taking mason to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so the Gemara tells Ula have a rogel to have a solik Eretz Yisrael. Ula used to regularly travel to Eretz Yisrael. We find all over Shas where Ula would travel back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, and he would report back like this. The yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael and in Bavel needed to keep in touch with each other, so they know what each other is teaching and learning and being mechadish in Torah. So Ula was one of the chachamim who would go back and forth and report back and forth on that. Noch nafshi b'chutz la'aretz, when he passed away, it was in chutz la'aretz. Also, omer le'le Rabbi Lozer, they came and told Rabbi Lozer, who lived in Eretz Yisrael. Omer, he says, it's such a pity. Ant ula ala domot t'meya tomus. You ula, like the Pasuk says, it actually points out, it's a Pasuk in Amos, you died on an unclean land. The actual context of the Pasuk is actually that Amos is having an argument over there with a false Navi. This false Navi, fellow named Amatzia, tells him, you know, who needs you, a real Navi, here, a Navi of Hashem, telling people to stop worshiping Avodah Zarah or whatever, here in the kingdom of the Eser HaShvatim. Nobody wants to listen to you over here. Go to Eretz Yehuda and you'll find people to give you parnasa over there. And Ula explains, and not Ula, Amos explains to him that no, I have a message from Hashem. I'm not doing it for parnasa or anything like that. And he tells him, a very sharp nevuah from Hashem. Among other things, he tells him, "Ala doma tmeya tomus, you will die on an unclean land." So now, meaning you'll die, meaning you're going to be taken into Golis and you're going to die in Chutz La'aretz. So now Rabbi Lozer is saying about Ula, how was such a pity that here you spent so much of your life in Eretz Yisrael, but now in the end you ended up passing away in Chutz La'aretz. In fact, that same Yerushalmi in Kilayim also tells that when Ula himself was about to pass away, he was feeling very bad about it. And he said, you know, it's like I'm having to give away my pearl in Chutzlar, it's my neshama. And he says over there in the Yerushalmi, like, you can't compare a person who passes away in the arms of his mother versus who passes away in the arms of some strange woman. That's, yeah. Anyway, so. So she had the schus to pass away by the Sefer Torah. Interesting. Interesting. Anyway, Omru Loya Ruine Bo. So they told Rabbi Lozer, they brought Ula's Oren to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Omru Lahem, he says, granted, but Eina Dreima Kol Tosa Mechaim, the Kol Tosa L'Achamisa. Still, you can't compare when the person has been taken in by Eretz Yisrael while he's alive versus after he passed away. Yes, Rabbi Lozer himself says in that Yerushalmi and Kilayim that at least it is, as we said, just said in the Gemara over here, V'chipra and Mosa Amoy, but still, he's feeling bad for the fact that Ula used to go like this. Ula should have had the schus to pass away in Eretz Yisrael, and he didn't. The Gemara goes on. So now let's talk about this concept of leaving Eretz Yisrael. So now a person is allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael under certain circumstances. The Rambam brings them in Hilchos Malachim, based on our Gemara and other Gemaras. A person can leave Eretz Yisrael temporarily, for example, to learn Torah if he's going to learn better in yeshiva and Chutz La'aretz, to get married, a couple of other reasons. But anyway,
well, if you can't make a living on it, it's okay.
I'll tell you what. As far as a person can't make a living, so that on the one hand, there is a Gemara in Bava Basra that tells that says, for example, if the economy in Eretz Yisrael is so depressed that like what would normally sell, where something that would normally sell for $10, for example, people have to discount it to $6, otherwise they won't find anybody to buy it, then that's a legitimate reason to leave Eretz Yisrael. Even so, if a person can manage in Eretz Yisrael, you should try not to. There's a famous story in a medrash in that connection where there's a kohen who's having a hard time making ends meet in Eretz Yisrael, so he decides he's going to go to Chutz La'aretz and then try to earn a living over there. This Kohen was one of the local experts on Saras. So the Medrash continues the story that before he leaves, he tells his wife, you know, people have always been coming to me to rule on Tsaras. Now that I'm going to be away, then I want to teach you the basics. At least this way you'll know when to refer them to a Chacham, etc. So he starts explaining to her that, you know, we know that one of the things that makes Tsaras definitive Tsaras is when there's two white hairs in it. And he explains to her every hair has its own follicle. And when you see that there are two white hairs in a spot of Tsaras, it means that the skin underneath them is damaged and dried up. And that's why the hairs have turned white. So she says to him, you know, one second, you're telling me that every hair has its own follicle. You're telling me, in other words, the Eibishter gave a source of nourishment for every hair. So you don't think the Eibishter gives a source of nourishment for every individual person? Don't go to Chutzlaret, stay here, she tells him. And Itaka stayed there, and he had betochen, and sure enough, soon he found a way to have parnasa. So you know, there's halachas, and then there's halacha about it, and then there's meta halacha about it. You have also, by the way, the famous story also in the famous story involving Rashbi, where one of his Talmidim travels away from Eretz Yisrael and comes back having earned a fortune, and the other Talmidim start getting jealous and thinking they should do the same thing as well. And Rav Shimon takes them to the valley, Hismali Dinrei Zahav, and the whole valley fills up with gold coins, and he tells them anybody can take whatever you want, but you're taking from your share in Olam Haba. And so, yeah.
The youngest was interesting. He was able to leave the Bogle, also lost his Eretz Yisrael.
Because he was planning to go back. That's what we're talking about over here. So a person can legitimately leave Eretz Yisrael for a while. For example, Lisa Isha, Luma Toda, a couple of reasons, but he has to return. So now the Gemara is going to give a contrast to that, right? So now the Gemara tells, "Hahu gavra the nafla le yavama bechayzah." There was a man living in Eretz Yisrael where he had a yavama that fell to him, meaning he had a brother who lived with his wife, and his brother passed away childless in Bechozoi. Bechozoi is nowadays in Iran. It's southwestern Iran. It's a good long distance from Eretz Yisrael. Also, so he comes to Rav Chanina to ask a shayla. Am I allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go down and to be miyabim her? No, he found out, Mustama by letter or whatever, that his brother living in Iran had passed away. Now he in Eretz Yisrael comes to Rav Chanina to ask, can I leave Eretz Yisrael to go there to Iran to be miyabim her? And apparently the idea was, it wasn't like he was just going to go temporarily there. Apparently the idea was that he would plan to settle there permanently. Mustama, you know, I mean, for one thing, a Yavam in Halacha, for example, a Yavam takes over the Yerusha that his brother that his brother had. He inherits from his brother. So you can imagine the guy Mustama had real estate and whatnot in Bechazoy, and this guy is not going to be returning to Eretz Yisrael so soon. Rab Chanina answers him with a very sharp lashon. Ochiv nosa kusis. His brother married a goita. Now, not literally a goita, but we're saying, we learned yesterday that a person lives outside Eretz Yisrael in a certain vein. It's considered as though he doesn't have an Eibishter and as though he's worshipping Avodah Zarah. So therefore, Rab Chanina is saying, your brother already did something wrong by leaving Eretz Yisrael and going and moving there and marrying this woman. Umes, and he died. Baruch hamokam shahoga. The Eibishter should be benched that he killed him. Vuhu yered achrav, and you're thinking to go down after him? So in other words, no, if she needs Yibum or Chalitza, she has to come here. Don't you go to Bechazoi for the purpose. Very sharp, yeah. It's one thing when they're living out of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Chanina was bothered by this guy had been in Eretz Yisrael and then left permanently. So now, so that's a problem. We talked yesterday, by the way, about a sicha. We talked yesterday about a sicha in Chelik Yud Ches, where the Rebbe analyzes a number of points in this whole sugya over here. We talked about yesterday about Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that a person is not allowed to leave Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael, and the Rebbe develops the point over there that one thing is because Bavel was the land that the Eibishter chose for the golus of the Jewish people. So in the course of it, the Rebbe talks about, well, what about, for example, Rabbi Yehuda's own Rebbes, Rav and Shmuel, who traveled to Eretz Yisrael and lived there for a period of time? And the answer is precisely that. They, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they were obligated to return, and in fact, they did. So by the same token over here, if this guy had gone to Bechazoi and married this woman and then returned to Eretz Yisrael, Rav Chanina wouldn't have had a problem with him. But because he left permanently, then therefore Rav Chanina is saying that he deserved what he got.
Jews who live permanently in Bechazoi.
If they live there permanently in Bechazoi is one thing, but to move from Eretz Yisrael to there, Rav Chanina didn't approve of that. Yeah, you know, many times over the years, people often ask the Rebbe why he doesn't move to Eretz Yisrael, why he doesn't visit Eretz Yisrael, and one of the answers was based on this whole sugya that it's really not so simple if a person lives in Eretz Yisrael to even travel outside it or yeah. Anyway. So the Gemara continues.
He was running the world from 770.
That's well. I mean, he could, you know, on the face of it, to our Balabatish ways of thinking, he could have run it from Eretz Yisrael as well. But that was actually one of the points that Eva made a number of times when people asked him about this: is that no, he can't. He can run it more effectively. He can run things more effectively from America than he can from Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So the Gemara continues. Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kashem Sha'otzu Lotzis, Me Eretz Yisrael the Bavel, just like you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Bavel, Kach Otzu Lotzis Mi Bavel L'Shara Rotzis. The same way, says Rav Yehuda, you're not allowed to leave Bavel to go to other countries. Now, why is that? So we talked about this yesterday, and then here, so here, Rashi says the reason is because Bavel has yeshivas that are constantly spreading Torah. So in other words, it's a great Mokum Torah. And therefore, to leave from there to another country where they don't have that would be a problem. There are other Rishonim who learn that it's not necessarily because of that, but rather just intrinsically, Bavel is the land where Jews are expected to stay, as we talked about yesterday, that Rav Yehuda himself holds that you're not even allowed to leave Bavel to move to Eretz Yisrael. So in that Sifa, again, that Rebbe analyzes this in great detail, first of all, an obvious nafkamina would be in times when there's not great yeshivas in Bavel. Would you be allowed to leave Bavel to move to Eretz Yisrael? If we say it's a matter of the great yeshivas over there, then sure, you could. But if you say it's a matter of that Bavel itself has a kedusha almost to the degree of Eretz Yisrael, and Marsha mentions that that's the point. In other words, Bavel, it's not just the fact that Bavel is greater in terms of its shivas, it's also that Bavel has something greater, has a great advantage in that it's a mokum chochma. In fact, Marsha goes into an interesting point over here. He says, you know, we find with Avram Avinu. So he and his family, they came from Ur Kasdim, they moved to Choron, they settled there for a while, then Avram goes to Eretz Yisrael, Olachas Eretz Kanaan. So what brought them to Choron in the first place? First of all, what brought them to Choron, and also what motivated Avraham to go to Eretz Yisrael? We know, in fact, that Avraham was in Eretz Yisrael a few years before the Eibishter told him, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. He was there when he was 70 for the Bris Ben Absarim. So what motivated him to go there in the first place? So Marsha gives an interesting explanation, is based on this Gemara over here. Since we're saying Bavel has a certain advantage compared to Eretz Yisrael, it's a place of great Chochmah. Later on, it was a place of great Chochmah of Torah. But we mentioned even, for example, before about when Hashem created Adam Edition, the head was from Eretz Yisrael, the body was from Bavel. So therefore, so Avraham was first drawn to Bavel because it's a place of Chochmah. Then when he's leaving there, he's not going to go to another country because, again, as we're saying over here, you shouldn't go from Bavel to other countries. Instead, where is he going to go? To Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, he went there originally of his own volition. Then he returned to Choron, and then afterwards, the Eibishter told him Lech Lecha, and he left Choron and left Bavel permanently. But we see, in other words, that even independent of the fact that there were the great yeshivas over there, the great yeshivas in Bavel weren't founded until 1,300 years after Avraham Avinu was there. Nonetheless, though, it was still already a place of Chochmah, and therefore, it's like second only to Eretz Yisrael in its importance.
Interesting that the others.
Rami
Yaakov left
Eretz Yisrael, forced to leave. Yeah. Yisrael was told not to leave because he didn't know Lachmimah. Yeah. Okay. So a person is not allowed to leave Bavel for other lands. And yeah, in that Sifra that ever develops the idea at some length, again, like we talked about yesterday, that Bavel itself is to a certain extent a chosen land. Eretz Yisrael is a chosen land for its Kedusha. Bavel also, as Marisha is saying over here, has a higher level of Kedusha than other lands. And it's the land that Hashem chose for the Golos of the Jewish people. And as we learned yesterday, Tosfos had pointed out, even after Churban Bayis Sheni, even though it's a different Golos, it's Golos Edrim, nevertheless, Bavel is that chosen land. And the Gemara is going to talk about soon other advantages of Bavel. So therefore, those would be reasons why we're saying not to leave from there to other countries. Rabba for Rabbi Yosef, the Amit Havayu. Now Rabba and Rabbi Yosef say, even within Bavel itself, afilu mepumpadisa lebeit kuvi, even to move from Pumpadisa to another town called Beit Kuvi, to move there and settle there is a problem, because Pumpadisa is a place with a great yeshiva and Beit Kuvi is not. And in fact, it happened once that a person moved from Pupadissa to Beit Kuvi, Shamtei Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Yosef put him in Cherem for that, because you have no business leaving a Mokum Torah without a valid reason. If the guy had been going to Beit Kuvi on Shlichus or something, that's something else. But here he's going for whatever reason, and therefore Rabbi Yosef decided that was inappropriate. Another example, Ahudin Nofak with Pupadissa le Istavanya. There was a person who moved from Pupadissa to another town called Istvanya or Estonia, however it's pronounced, whatever. Shochiv, then, what? like Estonia. Shochiv, and then he passed away. Omer Abayas, Abayas says, Iboy hait surfum rabbanon. If this young Talmud Chacham had wished Havachaya, he could have continued to live. If he had stayed in Pumadissa, he would have lived. But now that he moved to Estonia, then the Abishter decided he has no more. He's not accomplishing anything more in the world. Could also be in the sense, for example, that he might have been one of those people who he moves away from the Makom Torah, he's going to start getting negatively influenced by his surroundings, so therefore the Eibishter took him away, al derech like the Ben Sura murder, Yomus Zakai val Yomus Chayev, with the fellow who Rabbi Yosef put in Cherem. Also, maybe he didn't necessarily put him in Cherem strictly just for moving to Beit Kuvi, but rather, you know, once he moved to Beit Kuvi, then already he started falling away in various things of Yiddishkeit and eventually did something that deserved that got him deserving of Cherem. The point is, in other words, you know, having Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Yosef and Kisme, any dar elabim koim Torah. So if you yourself are going to make a sviva, then by all means, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. But if not, if you're going to be influenced by your surroundings, famously, you know, when the Rebbe started the whole concept of shlichus, people asked, it's like, you know, you take a pot of water, or you take a pot of water off the fire, isn't going to get cooled off by the ambient air. So it won't be the same thing. The shluchim are going to get cooled off by their surroundings. And the answer is no. You take the fire with you. You take the stove with you, which is what the shluchim are doing. So here we're saying in the Gemara, if you're going to take the fire with you to Beit Kuvi or to Estonia or whatever, by all means, but if not, then better stay where you are. I've heard a famous vort on this also that says, you know, when it says in Pirkei Avos, as ponim legehenim, or boshes ponim legan Eden, it also has a meaning in this also. The as ponim, the person who has that breakpipe to actually go and be able to transfer it to Keravelt, he can go to the Gehenim and make something of it, as opposed to the Boshes Ponim, the guy who doesn't have that in him, that he's going to be more likely influenced by his surroundings and embarrassed to go and spread Yiddishkeit openly. Let him stay in the Gan Edens of Crown Heights and then Williamsburg and whatever else. So the Gemara continues, Rab of Rabbi Yosef to Amitavayu. By the way, in that sicha, that Rebbe points out, all of this is also a mocker in Nigla for the concept. We have the famous vort of the Tzemach Tzedek, Mach Do Eretz Yisrael. Well, here we have, in other words, that we're saying that Bavel is like an Eretz Yisrael because it was made into one via the Mekomis Torah over there.
It was Golos,
but we're saying that they brought into it a Kedusha.
Yes.
Rabbi Rabbi Yosef to Amitavayu, Ksherin Shabbavel Eretz Yisrael Koltosan. So they both say the Ksherim, the kosher people of Bavel, Eretz Yisrael receives them. What receives them as far as what? We'll see in a second. Ksherin Shabbashar Anotzis Bavel Koltosan. As far as the kosher people of other countries, then Bavel receives them. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean receives them? Lamai, Ilema Luyuchsin. Do we mean that the kosher people of Bavel go and marry women, are suitable to go and marry women from Eretz Yisrael, and the kosher people of other countries come to Bavel to find their wives, to find their Shaduchim? No, but it's the other way around. The Gemara explains in Kiddushin that on the contrary, the Yuchsin in Bavel were purer than they were in Eretz Yisrael. So all other countries are like an Isa, like a mixture of dough, where you never know what's exactly mixed in there relative to Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is like a mixture of dough relative to Bavel. The Gemara explains there in Kiddushin that when Ezra was leaving Bavel with his group to go to Eretz Yisrael shortly after the second Beis Mikdash was completed, he realized that the great Bati Dinim now are going to be located in Eretz Yisrael, not so much in Bavel. There's going to be still, they still had Torah in Bavel, but not necessarily to the same extent. So he rounded up all the Psulim, all the Psula Yichus, all the Mamzerim and the Nesinim and whatnot, and brought them with him to Eretz Yisrael and left Bavel Kesolus Nikia, like clean clean sifted flour. So from then on, Bavel has a reputation for much better yuchsin than in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, so fakir, a person from Bavel might do better not to go and find a wife in Eretz Yisrael because she may not have that degree of pure yuchus as he does. So what do we mean that the kshedim of Bavel Eretz Yisrael receives them? Elo the inyan kvura. Rather, we mean as far as burial. People from Bavel bring their aronis to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, and people from other countries that are far away from Eretz Yisrael but closer to Bavel, then they bring their mesim to Bavel. At least it has a schus of Torah. So now, like I was saying before, historically, they have found there are people who came all the way from Yemen and brought their mason to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. But I guess with Pashtus, he would say, listen, Yemen is closer to Eretz Yisrael than it is to Babel. But in other words, what we mean is, in other words, if there were Jews in Iran or Afghanistan or Crimea or whatever, then they would bring their mason to Babel because the nearest place, that's a Makom Torah. Okay, the Gemara goes on. Amr of Yehuda, kol ha-dor b'bavel kilu dor b'Eretz Yisrael. So more on this topic, a person lives in Bavel is as if he's living in Eretz Yisrael, meaning he has the same schutz, again, because the Eretz Yisrael, because we're saying Bavel has an advantage, and has the advantages that we were talking about before. It's a place of Torah, and it's a place conducive to Chochmah, and therefore, Rav Yehuda is saying that a person lives there, he has the same schutz as Eretz Yisrael. And again, Rav Yehuda was the one who said you're not even allowed to leave Bavel for Eretz Yisrael. So it all fits together. Shenemar, because he says, because the pasuk says, "Hoy tzion he multi." Oh, tzion, hoy is a lashon of calling out. So, woe or ho there, tzion he multi. Escape, yesheves vas bavel, you who live in bavel. Simple meaning of the pasuk is the Navi is telling the Jewish people, it's time to escape, it's time to leave Bavel and run away from there and come to Eretz Yisrael because the second base of Mikdash is being built. But now Rav Yehuda is taking it in another sense as well. The Pasuk is comparing Tzion to Bas Bavel, meaning, in other words, that there's a certain similarity between them. And in fact, Omer Abaye, Naktina, Abaye says, we have a Kabbalah, Bavel lechaz yechevle de Mashiach. The people in Bavel will not have to experience chevle Mashiach. I suppose in our times we can pretty well say that's pretty much true. There's no Jews in Iraq at all, so there's none of them there to have Chevel Mashiach. But anyway, Targuma Ahutzel de Binyamin. Now they explain this doesn't necessarily mean the whole country of Bavel. Specifically, it refers to a place in Bavel called Hutzel of Binyamin. It was called that because the original settlers over there were from Shevet Binyamin. The Koro like counter to Shezavta, and they're going to call it the corner of salvation. So Rashi explains, Limoisa Mashiach, they're going to call it, like, this is the one corner of the world that was saved from Chevle Mashiach. The Gemara continues, Amar Abelazar, Mesim Shebechutz La'aretz Einim Chayim. The people who passed away in Chutz La'aretz are not going to come alive by Tchias HaMesim. Now, one second, we'll see soon that that's not what he means exactly. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, V'nasati Tzvi Be'eretz Chayim. The Navi says, I will place the Tzvi in the land of the living. So the simple sense means that Tzvi means either it means beauty or it means someone who's as swift as a deer. The context of the pasuk actually, it's talking about how Nebuchadnezzar is going to go and destroy Tzur, which was the subject of the end of last week's Haftarah, where there were several nevuahs of Yechezkel about the downfall of Tzur. This comes from one of them. So in the simple sense, it means, in other words, that Hashem is saying that I'm going to bring the Tzvi, the ruler who's as fast and swift as a deer, namely Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to bring him to Eretz Chaim, which refers to Tzur, because Tzur was a big commercial center. So therefore, and the Gemara elsewhere talks about that such places are called Eretz Chaim. They're called the land of the living in the sense that you can find anything you would want to buy over there. Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz HaChaim, but the Gemara also mentions elsewhere, there's Gemara, the Bavli and Yuma and the Yerushalmi and Kelayim mention that Eretz HaChaim can also refer to places that have a lot of commercial markets. So the Gemara, because then the Gemara, the Bavli and Yuma, in fact, mentions when it says in Halal, as Halach Lifnei Hashem, Ba'aretz HaChaim, it refers to places, Zem Makom Shvakim. It refers to places where there's lots of markets and you can buy anything that you need. So that's, yeah, it includes also that probably that even when I'm going in a place of markets, I'm still going to be lifnei Hashem because I'm not just buying things stamazoy, I'm buying them to be able to use for make a dira b'tachtonim. But the point is, in other words, that yeah. So in the simple meaning of the pasuk is we're saying, and actually, there's a few different meanings actually in the Mefarshim on the pasuk. It can mean again that Eretz HaChaim refers to Tzur, and Hashem is saying that I'm going to bring the swift Nebuchadnezzar against them. It can also mean Hashem is saying until now, after Eretz Yisrael was destroyed, then Tzur is the most beautiful place in the area. Now, instead, I'm going to restore that beauty, Tzvi also means beauty, to Eretz HaChaim, to Eretz Yisrael. But now we're understanding in another sense. It means Eretz Shetzivyoni Ba, the land in which my desire is, which is Eretz Yisrael, Meiseh HaChaim, the dead in it will come to life, She'en Sivyoni, it will come to life, She'en Sivyoni Ba, the lands that I don't have such a desire in, other lands outside Eretz Yisrael, Ein Meiseh HaChaim, then the dead there will not come to life. That's how he darshans the pasuk. Eretz Yisrael can be called Eretz Tzvi itself as well. Yeah, the Gemara later on mentions the fact that it's called that because it shrinks and expands as the Jews settle over there. Right, but here we're saying that the Tzvi has a couple of meanings. It means beauty. It means desire. Will be an Eretz Chaim. Yeah. The Rif gives over here a long explanation of how these two meanings of the pasuk fit together. How on the one hand it's talking about Nebuchadnezzar destroying Tzur, and then at the same time we can darshan it about Tchias Emesim. Marshall also points out the context of the pasuk is right before that, when Yechezkel was talking about how Tzur is going to be defeated and destroyed, and then sink under the waves. Psukim mentioned over there that what happened was Nebuchadnezzar went and he spent a long time trying besieging Tzur and trying to conquer it. Eventually, what happened was a giant tsunami came and wiped out the whole place, so they didn't even end up getting any spoils from it. So later on, that's why you have in last week's Haftorah that the Eibishter says, "Pulos Asha Ovad Bo," because he did what I wanted and destroyed Sur, therefore I'm going to give him the chance to conquer Eretz Mitzrayim and I'll take all the spoils from it. But anyway, so the Pasuk right before this says that it says Vahushav Kichas Yode Bur. The Navi says to Tzur, "I'm going to make you live. I'm going to settle you among those who are down in the pit," meaning everybody else dies and goes down into the grave, and nobody ever hears from them again. And the same thing is going to happen to you, Tzur. So now, very appropriately, is continuing. On the other hand, there's going to be Tchias Amesim for the Jewish people. So Rabbi Elazar again is saying this only in Eretz Yisrael though. But Mosiv Rabbi Abba Bar Memel, but Rabbi Abba Bar Memel says, how could you say that? You have another pasuk that says Yichyu Meisecha, your dead will live. Nivelosi Yukumun, my corpses will rise up. Now, why the double expression? My love Yichyu Meisecha means Meisim Shebe Eretz Yisrael, Nivelosi Yukumun means Meisim Shebe Chutz Laaretz. So we see that both of them are going to become alive. So fine, we can say it as Marsha points out, the ones who passed away in Chutz Laaretz can be called Nivelosi, like they're not as on as high a level as the Meisim of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, we're using the word Nivelosi on them as though they're just like a carcass of an animal. But nevertheless, we're still saying that they're going to come alive. It's my own. So, and you're going to say, "Umay v'nasati tzvi be'eretz chayim under v'chanetzah hu dechtiv." And what is the pasuk that Rabbi Elazar quoted again? Like we said before, is going to refer to v'chanetzah. The Amar Rachmana that Hashem is saying, "My sina alayu malka dekalol kitavia," that I'm going to bring against Tzur a king who runs as fast as a deer. So nothing to do with that. There's not going to be tchias amesim for anybody outside Eretz Yisrael. So again. So Rabbi Elazar had said only the Meisim in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Abba Bar Memel is saying on the face of it, the pasuk is saying the Meisim in Chutz Laaretz as well. Omalei, so Rabbi Elazar answers, Rebbe Mikra Achar Ani Dorish. Yes, but I have another pasuk that I can darshan. Nosin the Neshama Omalei. The pasuk says that Hashem gives a neshama to the people on it. And Marsha points out, is in the singular, so it refers to the people in the one particular country in the world, namely Eretz Yisrael. V'ruach lahochem ba, a spirit to those who walk in it. So again, that pasuk seems to indicate that there's tchias amesim only for those who passed away in Eretz Yisrael. So says Rabbi Elazar, so what do I do with that pasuk about nevelosi yikumun? He says, that means, in other words, not just the people who were actually born and lived their lives, even the stillbirths, even the miscarriages, they're going to also have the miscarried and stillborn babies, they're also going to have tchias amesim. But still, not necessarily the ones outside Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara continues. Rabbi Abba Bar Memel, hi, noisin the shamala omaleha my ovedle. Fine. What does he do with the pasuk about noisin the shamala omaleha, which implies only those who are in Eretz Yisrael? So he answers, mibolach Rabbi Bohu. He uses that drosha for what Rabbi Bohu says. The Rabbi Bohu, I feel the shivcha knanis shib Eretz Yisrael muftacholoshi basa olam haba. As we said before about the great schos of living in Eretz Yisrael, so even a shivcha knanis living in Eretz Yisrael, and she's chayev in only some mitzvahs being a shivcha, and Marsha points out she doesn't even have the schos of mila like at least a male eved would. Nevertheless, she's a basa olam haba because of the mitzvahs that she accomplishes in Eretz Yisrael and the schos of living over there. And how do we know that it refers to her? It says here, to the Am, to the people on her. Avraham says to his servants, you stay here with the donkey, from which we learn. So the Avodim, who are compared to a donkey, so we're darshaning Im, Loshan Am, but in other words, the point is that even that kind of Am, nevertheless, knows in the Shom Om Aleha, and they have the schus of Tchias Mason, and then, and Olam Abba. And v'ruach lahochim ba, when it continues that Hashem gives a spirit to the ones who walk there in Eretz Yisrael. So what does that mean, they walk there? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Rabba, Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, kol mahalach dalat amas v'Eretz Yisrael. Anybody who walks even four amas in Eretz Yisrael, muftach leshur ben olam haba, then he is guaranteed to be a ben olam haba. Again, what does that mean, just because walking four amas in Eretz Yisrael? So it means Iyun Yaakov refers to the fact you have the Dalar Amas Chalalacha. So it means, in other words, he spends time learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael and benefits from the Chochma, from the Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkim, so then he's a Muftach Lo Yishur Ben Elam Abba. There's different other explanations on it, including one very interesting one from the Shalach Kodesh that also relates it to the Dalar Amas Chalalacha, but he parses the sentence differently. Kol HaMahalach Dalar Amas, a person who walks four Amas in Halacha, is as if he was Be'eretz Yisrael. And therefore, move to Chol Yisrael ben Elam Abba, because wherever he is in the Dalet Amos Shal Halacha is tantamount to Eretz Yisrael. Again, Machdo Eretz Yisrael. Well, the question still is: are you telling me that according to Rabbi Lozer, that tzaddikim who passed away in Chutz La'aretz are not going to come alive by Tchias Meisim? And the answer is: Amar Rabbi Ila, Rabbi Loi, Ayudei Gilgul. They're going to roll through the tunnels. So they're going to roll through tunnels to Eretz Yisrael, and then they'll have Tchias Meisim there. Maskefor of Abba, Maskefor of Abba, Salah Rabba, Gilgul, Tzadikim Tsarhu. For them to have to roll through over there would be a Tsar. Why should Hashem put the Tzadikim through such Tsar? Amar Abayim, Mechilas Nasas Lam Bakarka means there's going to be tunnels for them underground. So they're going to be able to stand on their feet, walk through the tunnels to Eretz Yisrael, and there they're going to come out and have to face a Mason. In other words, they're going to have a certain degree of Chayos to be able to walk through the tunnels. So you were mentioning, is related to that yeah, we're asking that we should be, to begin with, we should be able to be upright rather than having to roll through or crawl through the tunnels to get to Eretz Yisrael. There's a famous thing that I pointed out. Because of that, it means that these tunnels are going to actually be opened up when it comes time to Tchias Meisim. But even now in Halacha, when you have a door or an opening that's going to be opened up, then it's considered for certain purposes in Halacha as though it already is. That means, therefore, even now it can be considered that there is an opening from the Kever of a Tzaddik to Eretz Yisrael. Thus, that is why davening by a Kever of a Tzaddik has such an effect, because it's tantamount to, it's already considered part of Eretz Yisrael, as you have the Halacha, for example, that rooms underneath the Beis Mikdash, tunnels underneath the Beis Mikdash, that open up into the Azara, have the Kedusha of the Azara. So in a similar vein, the Kever of a Tzaddik being opened up by this tunnel to Eretz Yisrael already has some of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael.
That includes the door to the Gaula, right?
That includes the door to the Gaula, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm
passing away soon. I want to go to the Tistros, I could avoid.
Yeah. This
person
enters
that he's worried about his
body. Cute. So the Kotzko is saying that this.
He's worried about his body.
He's worried about his body. This body's going to have to roll through, yeah.
Cool.
Cute. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ga'ola. There's a pasuk Yoldat Tzion Es Banecha, that Tzion, that Tzion, Yerushalayim, will have given birth to her sons. Now, we know there's the birth of a girl, and then there's the birth of a boy. And in a way, the birth of a boy represents a stronger degree of geula, in the sense a girl eventually herself is going to go through the same tsar again. Thus, we say, for example, that the geulas from all previous geulas are in the feminine form shira chadasha, whereas by this one it's going to be shir chadash. So that means that we're talking about, you have a boy, Yoldatzinus Boneha, specifically her boys, represents the strength of the Gula Amitis Vashlema, which is an eternal Golos, an eternal Gula without Golos, without any Golos after it, through Mashiach Tzidkenu. And also this V'yolda Zohar represents the birth and the revelation of the Neshama of Mashiach, who actually comes from a higher world, from Alma de Dechora, from the world of the male. So that's all included in this expression, in the pasuk, Gam Yoldatzinus Boneha.
One
way of looking at it is, yeah. Okay, continuing with halachas of Amir La'akum on Shabbos. So you have halachas over here. First of all, you're not allowed to send a goy outside the tchum for any purpose. We're talking about what kind of things you're allowed to have him do on Shabbos. We said that where it's a tzorech mitzvah, it's tzorech rabim. The kids of Shulchan Aruch actually didn't mention over here it's tzorech rabim, but an example that's given in Shulchan Aruch, for example, in places where there's an eruv, if the eruv rips, then it's legitimate to ask a goy to go and fix it so people are not nichshol in carrying. We said if there's a tzorech mitzvah ktsas or a choyli, then you're allowed to, but to send him outside the tchum, even for such purposes, would be also because there you're talking about something which is already that's not a malacha going outside the tchum, but nevertheless that's something that you can't have a goy do for you on Shabbos.